Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Sunday morning, June the 19th, 2011, and I am deeply grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at some interesting questions that people have offered to me, and I want to thank them for being so generous and kind. It's very, very nice when people share their thoughts, their life, I think, with me. It's an honor, actually. And it's by no accident that it happens. It's all about karma in our life and the love that unites us. So I'm hoping that I'm able to help in some way. If you haven't been to my new website, I hope you will come. It's aspire.org, aspire.org. You can go and peruse and take a cruise around there. I have a new workshop that's going to be coming up. If you look under events at aspire.org and go to Carmel Workshops, and you just click on that, you'll be able to see that we have a wonderful workshop coming up here on July the 2nd, that's Saturday, just a couple of weeks from now. We're going to be spending a day in love, in the love and the tone of silence. We're going to have an absolutely silent workshop, and we're going to be doing meditation. We'll be doing the two new meditations, Resonant Bronze 1 and A Deeper Silence, as well as walking meditation, eating meditation. So if you feel like your life might need a little silence, a little beauty, I would be honored to have you come and be with us for this workshop. The donation is only $50. The proceeds go to purchase more airtime of our radio program and to the wonderful Carl Cherry Center here in Carmel. And if you've never been there, it's really a wonderful place. They have plays and art, and it's just really a wonderful little magical place, and a wonderful place for you to do your walking meditation in a gorgeous garden. And maybe you'll find something there within yourself that needs love, and maybe you'll find that love lives you. In silence, so much can happen. If you're interested and you want to be with me, like I said, I'd be honored to have you. All you need to do is go to the website at aspire.org and sign up there. Go to events and you'll see Carmel Workshops, or you can just call me right now at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. Now, be happy to sign you up. And by the way, it includes your lunch. So there's a lot here. Okay, let's get to the questions. The first one comes from Samuel, in Los Angeles. He listens to us via the website at aspire.org. What are you so afraid of? What am I so afraid of? Why are we all so afraid? Why does fear get so much attention in my life? Please help, Samuel. Samuel, we live in a certain fear, and I'll tell you what it is. You're probably going to reject it and not really get it. It will seem insignificant and maybe even insurmountable. But nonetheless, you ask the question. Now, this is in my experience of it all. The reason we suffer grievously the way we do in fear is because we live so emotionally. We live from the emotion of the body, and the body knows it's dying. From the moment it's born to the very moment I am talking to you, it knows. It knows that it is getting old from the moment it is born and going downhill. So there is a kind of, what do I want to call it, a latent fear about it all. And the fear has a great deal to do with the way I encounter myself upon my own life. And because I would rather live in fear than in love, because I'd rather live from my body rather than from my heart, I will choose to live emotionally. And it is there that I will try to justify the rest of my life by believing that there is right and wrong and good and bad and all that other stuff. And I will miss the meaning and the substance and the beauty of what it means to have a meaningful life. You ask me, what am I and everyone else so afraid of? That we are dying. And then what happens after that? This is really frightening to people. So people make up stories about heaven and hell and right and wrong, good and bad. What would we do if we didn't have these stories about heaven and hell and who's good and who's bad and who's going to die in hell and who's going to be able to go to heaven? We recently had this whole thing happen, didn't we, with this rapture stuff. Nothing ever happens. Does it change people? No, not at all. Not at all. Nobody, due to proof of the pudding, can look at it and go, well, wait a minute, maybe all of this stuff about predictions of the end of the world and death and heaven and hell, maybe none of this is true. No, no, no. You see, it is so ingrained in the fabric of my DNA. It is so ingrained in my emotional DNA that my body is going to continually present to me over and over and over again the whole idea that I'm going to die. Now, this is going to be in the unconscious, not in the conscious. And so I'm running constantly in my life, constantly running from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing, trying to find a person, a place, or a thing to ease and comfort my fear of death, that something terrible is going to happen to me. And the more I do this, the more I live in this way, the uglier it gets. And hence, I find my life in deep sorrow, pain, and misery. You ask me, why does fear get so much attention in this life from me? It gets attention because you have a human body. And it's there. Now, I'm not saying ignore it and just pretend like, you know, that your fears don't exist. Everybody has to deal with their fear in their own way. They really do. Some people choose to deal with it through mania and depression and obsession. Other people just try to stay busy. They're so afraid of what might happen to them if they quasi get with the meaning of their life and what's going on. So instead of really finding substance and meaning and love and kindness in their life, and maybe finding some devotion to something greater than their own body and emotions, they try to incorporate body and emotion and find a reason for living in so many ugly ways. And this is why we have so many issues and problems in our life. We have issues and we have problems because we are afraid. We fear the idea of our own death, and we try to rationalize and ease the pain of this death by saying we're going to a better place. And it doesn't work because, you know, deep inside, really deep inside, you know it's not true. You know, none of us know what happens after death. None of us. Now, I've been with some awakened people in my day, enlightened people. And they have all laughed and scoffed at this idea when people like myself and others have presented to them the question about what happens after death. And they all basically said the same thing. There is no difference between life and death except a body. And there is a certain part of us, Samuel, that is aware. We're deeply aware of the life of love that lives within us. We're deeply aware of it. But we don't do anything about it because our emotions overwhelm us. After years and years and years of indulging my emotions over and over and over again, I've become more, shall we say, a slave to them than insightful of them. And that's why there's so much pain and sorrow and misery in this world. People make their life miserable. They really do. They have an agenda, and every agenda is about how am I to make everything make sense to my fears? How am I to make everything make sense to my fears? And that's really all it's about. It isn't about love. It isn't about allowing life to live me in a beautiful way. It's all about fear, fear, fear. So we have created this thing called enjoying our life, and we go out into the world and we try to eat, drink, and be merry until the lights go off. And that's a very pathetic way of living. But that's what we do, Samuel. Unless we find a spiritual practice, unless we find something that's not an ideal, not a philosophy, not a religion, not a politic. Until we find something that is authentic in us and we move in the flow of it. To such a degree that when the body drops, you are still there, just as consciousness, just as you were in the body. It is a wonderful practice. Very few people seek it. Very few people even consider it. But it is there. And it is authentic. And it is real. Samuel, want nothing with all of your heart, my dear man. Want nothing with all of your heart. And it will become very clear. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question. This one comes from Randy, and he lives in SoCal. If politics, religion, and fear are not the answers, as you say, what is? Randy. Well, Randy, you're assuming there is a question. Politics, religion, philosophy, fear, all of that stuff. It's all the human way, the way we rationalize, theorize, and blame. What is at the bottom of politics but human fear and hate? What's at the bottom of religion but human fear and hate? What is fear but fear? Fear itself. My feelings of inadequacy as a man, as a person, as a human being. My fear of my own existence somehow just blowing away in the wind. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's simple. Anybody can get that. Problem is, what do you do with it? Just like I was talking to Samuel. Politics is futile. Absolutely futile. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal or a conservative. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change except that things are going to take on their own nature. You start to create an energy and a synergy with politics about fear. Everybody is afraid. Live and let live. No, you can't do that. You've got to govern people, because if you let them live and let live, then they start doing really ugly things. And pretty soon that encroaches upon my life and my freedom and yada, yada, yada. There's no answer. Don't you get it? Until human nature changes, until I am no longer subject to my own human nature, where I am living my life according to what I'm afraid of in my human nature, in my fears, in my anger, in my allegory of life that I have, there's no amount of governing me, because I'll just find another way around it. Have you ever not marveled at how people can cheat? I mean, we cheat and we cheat and we cheat as a human race. And no matter how many laws are there, we try to find a way around it and cheat. And that's all it's about. Cheating. Not loving. Not giving. It's all about that. And then you have religion. Well, you know, you need religion. Because without religion, there's no hope. And what is hope but something that says to me, look, I can stay the way I am and get something better. I just am hopeless and helpless. That's foolish. People are just idiots when they live like that. Just blooming idiots. They don't see the real meaning of it. I become really stupid when I cast my fate to the winds of my own hatred and fear. So what is the answer, you say? Listen to me, Randy, and try to understand there is no question. There are no answers because there is no question. I create the question as a human being. I'm the one that's the problem. Until I let love live me, I am the problem. I make problems. I sustain problems. I believe in problems. I am the problem. Problem, 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 problem. It isn't other people. It's me, Gregory Penn. I'm the problem. And until I begin to understand the nature of the problem, I will never move away from it. To find the meaning of a human being's life is really not what it's all about. To find life in a human being is a very noble cause. But the greatest is just to live as life itself. The problems we have here on Earth, well, who do you think made them? Me. Me. You. Everyone. Thinking that I am just me, you, and everyone else. And instead of searching past all of that to find a life really worth living, all I have done is followed my parents and the culture and the society. In my series, A Life Worth Living, I work with a Socrates a little bit. He said, the unexamined life is a life not worth living. Only an examined life is a life worth living. Can you examine your life without guilt and shame? See, here's the deal, Randy. People don't want to look at their life. They don't want to examine it. First of all, they don't know how. They absolutely do not know how to examine their life. They'll look at their circumstances and their conditions, and that's not examining my life. I have to examine where I come from, my motive, where I'm living from within myself. It isn't about the idea of looking out into the world. It's about looking within me. And the minute you say, go within, you find people going, what do you mean go within? How do you do that? They don't know how. They don't want to know how. They don't care. And hence, we have issues in this world. Because, my dear Randy, for a life worth living, it's all about what lives within you. You have to really begin to look at it from the point of view of whether or not you are indifferent towards your life. I have a saying for my students, and I've given it to them over and over and over again. If you were as industrious, as interested in this practice, as you are in being indifferent towards your own life, you would be awakened by now. Isn't that interesting? Not. Randy, I am the problem. You are the problem. Look no further. In every given situation of your life, look no further. If you get that, then you have found the answer also, because you are the answer, not as a man, but as love. Please forgive me. Namaste. People don't know their love. They don't even care to know their love. They just want to be loved, and that's more important than anything in the world, is to be loved and get what they want and all that other stuff. Last question comes from Kathy in Santa Cruz. And Kathy, I want to thank you for your kind comments. I need to know what is real and what is not. How do I know in my relationships and in my life? Kathy, nothing that is here on this planet is real. So if you're looking for reality in your circumstance and your conditions and all of that, you're missing. What is real? Real is love. It is the only thing that is real. Consciousness, compassion, love, all these things bring you to love. But if you're looking for an idea, an ideal, if you're looking for a situation, if you're looking for something to, you know, look at and go, this has got to be it. What would that be? My mind can create all sorts of illusions and delusions. When I was in India and I was first starting out my practice, I had no idea what the heck I was doing. I really had no idea. I was afraid, but I was drawn. I was in ignorance, but yet I knew. I felt the pull to go within, and yet my body and my mind wanted to take me back home. But I stayed because there was a certain energy that I was feeling that was beyond, though subtle, beyond what my comprehension could be at the time. And as I sat with it and I stayed with it longer and longer, all of a sudden something started to awaken in me. Something beautiful started to happen. I couldn't explain it. It's all about a certain quality of beauty, to be honest with you, Kathy. Beauty is real. It's impermanent, but it's real. Beauty takes on many different forms, which is the impermanence of beauty and the nature of beauty, which is to allow beauty to change and unfold and grow. Most of us don't have any clue as to what it means to unfold, grow, and flower. We aren't even interested in our flowering. We're only interested in our gathering, what we can get, how much we can have, and what it means to have everything we want. That's all life means to us. But if you are willing to go deeper and further, if you're willing to let the flowering happen, you're going to find something more than strategic happening to you. You're going to find something blooming in you. Beauty, love, truth. These are the things that are most real. They can't be conjured up in my ego, my vanity, my pride, my belief. And if I only believe in these things, it is not enough. I have to let them live me. If I don't let them live me, then they're not real. So, I would say to you, Kathy, don't be looking for the things you can think about. If you can think about it, it's probably not happening. But if you feel it beyond your emotions, it's that subtle feel that draws you and pulls you. If you can feel it, if you can know it, in that realm, follow it. Though it may be a whisper in your life, though it may be only a hint, keep following it. Go for it deeper and deeper and deeper. Don't be fooled by the matter of what is going on in appearances. Keep following love. Go beyond your instincts emotionally that tell you, danger, Will Smith, danger, danger. Go deeper. Go into love. And if you do, beauty will surround you, love will enfold you, and life will fetch you and bring you back to that which you really are, love. Kathy, thank you for listening to this silly little offering called the Aspire Radio Program, and may it serve you well, and I hope I was able to help. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you with, I would be honored if you would come to the website at aspire.org, and all you really have to do is when you get there, go to the media. You'll see it there. You have Home, About Aspire, The Path, The Catalog, How to Support Aspire, which I hope you will do, and then there's Media. And you go to radio programs, and if you go there and click on them, you can hear past radio programs. And you can also, with a little Buddha sitting there with a computer, send me any email you would like. I would love to hear from you. It would be very meaningful if you did. It really would. And any question that you have is fine. If you don't want me to use your name, please let me know, and I'll be happy to hold that. I have a beautiful new series of TV programs that are going to be coming up here in the very near future, in just another couple of weeks. And you'll be hearing me talk a lot about this. The sound of one hand clapping. Oh, there's been lots of jokes about it, you know. What is that one hand clapping? But you know, it's a very profound thing. When you get to a certain place in your life where all of the wants and the desires you can see are useless, when you've come to a place where you are available for a certain kind of love, a love that exceeds what it is you believe in, when you've come to a place where you feel totally lost and just don't know what to do, it will be time to find the sound of one hand clapping. If you go to the media section once again on the Aspire website and hit TV programs, you'll see new programs. And if you click on that, You'll be able to see the sound of one hand clapping, and you will be able to hear little snippets, as I call them, of the CDs that I have made for this program, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. There is a 4-CD set with 8 beautiful discourses on the 8 stories that I have chosen to offer on this TV series from the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. And before you order your CDs, you can click on these little snippets and listen to some excerpts from the CD set, from No Water, No Moon, A Dead Man's Answer, Is That So?, The Philosopher Asks the Buddha, The Giver Should Be Grateful, just a few of them. There's also a little video there for you, and it's all there, and you can order your CDs immediately if you would like. For all sponsors, you are getting them for free because you are a sponsor. And you have been so generous with Aspire to be a sponsor. So you'll be getting those if you haven't gotten them already. You'll be getting those in the near future. But for those of you who are not sponsors, the donation for the series is only $40. Parts of it are tax deductible, much of it. And the proceeds are used to purchase more airtime of our radio and our TV program, Aspire. Next year, we're going YouTube, and there'll no longer be a TV program called Aspire. All be on YouTube. Every one of our old programs and our new ones to come will all be on YouTube, and I think it'll be a big improvement for the world, I hope. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me. Namaste.